Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Well, it's 25 minutes to 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. That was quick. That was very quick. And that's somebody, is that you?
Good evening, sir. Good evening to your listeners.
That was very quick. I didn't expect it to end abruptly like that. But anyway, I miscalculated the time there. But anyway, is everything okay with you and your family?
Everything is fine. That day we are all blessed, and the hope so is everyone listening to the show now.
Okay, that is Samad, as promised, is with us tonight on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And today we'll be talking about estates. And that includes deceased estates, that Samad Agir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Before we do that, as always, please share with us some of your experiences with regard to how many people you managed to assist over the past few days.
You know, you and I talk about many things off air, and sometimes we forget whether we have shared this with the listeners or not. So if I repeat this, the listeners will forgive me, because I thought we said we were going to talk about it last week, but I think we forgot about to talk about it. This is the case whereby the son, you know, I'm talking about the obedient son who found a job, decided to buy his parents, you know, the appliances in the house. He bought the fridge, the TV, you know, and other furniture for the parents to say thank you for raising me and for raising me well, you know. So obviously he couldn't afford to buy these things on credit. Therefore, he applied for. He couldn't afford to buy them cash, so he bought them on credit from a furniture store. Due to COVID-19 challenges, he was not paid for a while. The company that he's working for did not get business for some time. Therefore, the employees, including himself, could not be paid their salaries, not even a cent. So the grip of us granted him the bed relief like many others did last year during lockdown. However, the time for debt relief has lapsed. So this is the time to pay back the money. And he couldn't pay because he's not earning a salary as yet, even though he's still in the employ of the business. So the grip of us became impatient to go back to work or to return to work. So they decided to go and attach the furniture from his parents' house. By the way, he's no longer staying with the parents. He rented a room elsewhere. As you know, the elder son, the elder daughter, the elder child will create space by getting his or her own apartment so that they can be able to start their own new life, you know, outside the parents. So he bought the stuff and left them home and then went to start life elsewhere. So while he was elsewhere, where he's renting, that's when the debt collectors went to his parents' house and they found his mom there and they notified the mom that they were going to process the furniture. And the mom tried to refuse to say, my son is not here, I cannot release the furniture, whatever. And then the debt collectors, you know, they came with the, you know, with their usual threats and intimidation, and claimed to take the money, to take the furniture. Indeed, they repossessed some of the furniture. At that time, they took the TV and the smaller appliances. As for the fridge, bathroom suit and stuff, they said they're gonna go and get them this week, the week that we're in now.
Did they come with court order or something, or they just decided to, you know, take the laws into their own hands?
They decided to take the law into their own hands.
Okay.
Yes. So they said they promised to come back again today. on Thursday. This happened on Thursday last week.
Okay.
So now, the mom listens to Radio Pulpit. After these guys had left with some of the furniture, she remembered, Radio Pulpit, Mr. Shamadla. And then she gave me a call. And it was too late because they had already left. And then I asked her the question, did you send anything? She said, yeah, I think I sent something, but that was just the list of the items that they took. I said, no, that couldn't be the list. That should have been the voluntary surrender. That said, that says you called them to come and fetch the furniture. That's what they come said. Even though I don't see, I don't know what they signed. I don't know what they sent, but what you have sent is the voluntary surrender. So that is an early termination of the credit agreement, even though the furniture does not belong to you. The document that you signed say you invited them. She said, no, I didn't invite that, but if you can read them, you'll see. That's what they say. Okay, the daughter was around. The daughter took the pictures of the documents and WhatsApped them to me. And then when I read them, the heading says voluntary surrender, as I predicted. So this is what happens to many people, not only these ones. Many people are caught by this, by the debt collectors. They will allege that, or they will threaten that if you don't raise the furniture or the car, whatever they want to attach, they will call the police because they've got a court order, yet they've got nothing. Okay, first right. I said to them, I said to the family, if they come again, please call me immediately. I'll be on standby. Indeed, they went again today, this morning. And then when they arrived, the son was there at the house, and then he immediately called me and said, they're here. Then I said to him, tell them to show you the court order. They said they don't have a court order. I said, call 112, call the police. Now, call the police to come to your house. Here are the people who are trying to steal your furniture.
Hijacking your furniture.
They are stealing it because nobody has sent them there. The credit provider has got no right whatsoever in any law to attach your furniture without the court order, without following the court process. So in this case, there was no due court process that was undertaken. They were acting like cowboys. So when he said this to them, then they backed off. They backed off with their tails between their legs. And then I said, while they are there, ask them, how did they take the previous furniture? Ask them, I was speaking to the son now, because at this time around he was present. They said, yeah, your mom released the furniture to us. She signed already, yara, yara. Now I'm just a debt collector. I was sent by the company to come and fetch the stuff, and your mom didn't receive. So it means that she agreed. That's why she signed. So the lesson here is that if you want to surrender the goods, you can surrender them by all means. That is Section 127 of the National Credit Act. But if you don't want to, nobody can force you. The minute they try to force you, if you can't get hold of us, call the police. Because when the police arrive at the scene, they are going to say, or they are going to request the court order from the person who was coming to attach. Say, oh, ma'am, where's your court order? If they don't have a court order, why are we here?
Yeah, ne?
Why are we in this premises? Because you can only come here with a court order, unless if you have been invited.
Ufuna, nela.
Yeah, by the way, if there's no court order, I mean, if there's a court order, then there should be a sheriff. Yes.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Shamadla, for helping them. I don't know if they can be able to get the furniture that has already been taken. No, they cannot get it back.
That one, obviously, is underpaid because it was taken from the third party.
Oh, okay.
Which is the mother, not the owner.
Okay.
So it's the third party that signed the voluntary surrender. It was not the owner.
Okay. All right, 15 minutes to 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. You can talk to Dr. Samatla this evening. If you'd like to talk to him, ask him a question or comment on what we are talking about this evening, feel free to do so. The lines are opened. It's 012-334-1322. It's, the other one is 012-333-8699. Or alternatively, drop us a WhatsApp message to this WhatsApp number, which is 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. We're talking to Ndati Elisha Matla Lehono tonight, Busumba Kajenumo AM 657 kilohertz. And of course, we want to talk about estates, including the deceased estates. Or you can talk about estates without talking about the deceased estates in that.
Well, estate happens in many levels. Obviously, in the in our daily lives, you've got estate. The assets that you own are your estate. They have to be shared or distributed when you die. The assets that you have acquired in the marriage are the estate. So if you divorce, you have to share the estate. When you die, obviously, you become a deceased estate. You are no more.
Hmm.
Your estate has to be shared amongst the surviving beneficiaries or heirs.
Yes, sir.
Let's see.
All right.
And one of,
yes, continue.
One of our biggest nightmares in the estate, if not credit providers, okay, in the estates, we don't call them credit providers. We call them creditors. Because you're still using the old law of 1965.
Okay.
This is the Estates Act. And then in 2007, we call them credit providers because of the National Credit Act. So, in the estates, especially deceased estates, you will find the deceased estates and the insolvent deceased estates, whereby the deceased has passed away but hasn't left cash in the estate. You may leave the assets, but no cash. But on the other hand, you may find that your liabilities, you've got assets, but you've got liabilities as well, meaning your debts as well. And they surpass your assets. You call total defeater, Tripona Leon. You know, your debts are more than the assets that you have. So your estate will be declared insolvent. Then everything is going to be sold by private treaty, meaning privately, or they will be auctioned off.
Okay.
But besides the creditors, the biggest threat is SARS. Even today, the emails that were coming through were regarding SARS claims, whereby the deceased has passed away, and SARS will say, we are claiming this amount of money from this particular person or this estate, till which we sell the property.
Yeah.
And the family becomes devastated.
Sure. The things we do while we are still alive and that the Samatla can actually, affect our families badly when we are gone. So we must be very careful with what we do. We should be able to submit our returns faithfully so. And of course, Rebesuba, with regards to what we think we have, because right now our family members think that the house we have, we live in, we own, you know what I'm saying? And we'll find out that once we die, that's the end of it. So there'll be...
Sorry, to keep in there, rudely. Especially when you don't owe the house or the property to anyone. It's not bonded. You think this is the inheritance of your children.
Okay.
And the SARS comes today. Your father or your mother was owing us. And still owing us. Even though he or she is deceased, therefore we want our money. If there's no money, well, it's fine. This property does not belong to you. It still belongs to the deceased. So we are selling his or her property.
But that can be arranged. The payments can be arranged there so that we can be able to save the house. Can it be done?
With SARS.
Mm.
Not that easy.
I thought SARS is the government.
That is the Western credit providers.
Are you serious?
They are Western creditors.
So you know all those guys?
They are Western private sector.
So you can negotiate with them. You can make arrangements with them.
You can, but it depends. It's not that good. When you make arrangements, they're going to accept the arrangement.
Okay.
Yeah, they are a tough nut to crack.
So they are the laws unto themselves, so to speak.
Okay, this is what happens. Let me tell you. Let me give you what happened in this particular case.
Mm.
And that is a twilight of many other cases. Mm. Because remember, when we see the case, you may find that there are 20 cases that are similar to this one that we have. So, but we'll talk about one, which represents the other 20 that we have received already. We are mentioning it because it's a common problem. So we have seen it so many times, meaning that it affects so many people. So now, in this case, the father dashed or passed away or left this world, depending on which religion you are from. So he was owing SARS. Obviously, the wife and kids wouldn't know. Obviously.
Mm.
You don't discuss your SARS issues with your kids. So your death with your kids, do you? No. Sometimes you don't even discuss your death with your wife or your husband. You discuss this last week. It's your secret. Okay? So now, like typical couples, he did not disclose to his wife and kids that he's owing SARS. And many other care providers as well.
Mm.
So he passed away sadly. May his soul rest in peace. And then he was buried. He got a decent send-off, I believe. And then after they buried him, then they received a letter from SARS that he was owing them.
How much?
And the family. I think around 18,000 rand, 1-8.
Okay.
Then they submitted the request. They submitted the death certificate and the relevant documents. And SARS apparently said, yeah, we see this and whatever, but still we want our money. There's an estate here. What is the financial position of the estate? Because the estate should pay us. Whatever he left behind, or you sell the things that he bought while he was still alive. They are not yours, they are his. If you bought a TV, sell the TV and pay us. If you bought a car, sell the car and pay us. So obviously they didn't. The mother tried to negotiate with SARS. It was a lengthy discussion. And SARS kept on sending, you know, the first reminder to pay and then the second reminder. And the mother died. Meaning the wife of the deceased, the surviving spouse, passed away as well. And left three children. So this is their only home. So now they got a final letter of demand from SARS, the children. They went to negotiate with SARS. SARS said, no ways. If you can pay us, we have got no choice but to sell the house. To some people, 18,000 is not a lot of money, to some. But to these children, they don't have it. They're not working. They don't have
it. Ask yourself, what's the value of the house and how much are they selling it for?
Remember, SARS won't disclose that to them. Like the bank, they won't disclose how much they develop the property. That's their secret. So, the bottom line here is that the property has been sold by SARS. So, I don't know how they reached us. You know, somebody somewhere who listens to people might have referred them to us, and then they arrived at our place and then discussed. But here the problem is that the representative of the children, which is the son of the deceased, has got an attitude.
Okay.
Okay, he approached us. We tried to listen. We tried to ignore other stuff. Okay? So obviously we'll advise accordingly to say, we think this is where the problem is because we haven't investigated. But based on our experience, the problem could be here. For example, he wants to say he his father died in whatever years, 3 years back or 4 years back, and then his mother passed away like last year. Okay? So he has argued the point that the father is deceased, therefore he can't be old now. That's his argument.
Mm.
So we are saying to him, it's not about your father being deceased. It's about the tax money that your father is owing to SARS.
Mm.
And that is mean that, that means that is when he was still alive, earning an income. He may not have submitted the returns. Then they charged him the penalties. He might have underdeclared his income. Something has happened. But the way I know, SARS, they won't tell you what went wrong. That's not their duty to tell you. It's up to you to find out. Okay? But seeing that these are children, that money, we did our quick investigation. Quick. And then we found out where the problem was. The problem was the father. He owed SARS, and he knew it before he died. He didn't comply. Despite the fact that SARS wrote to him, and at some point he contacted SARS at their own offices, and they told him what to do, he never did until he died. Now they want their money, rightfully so. That's where we talk about the insolvent deceased estate.
Okay.
That's why it's in the law. It doesn't mean that when you die, your death also die. No, they don't die.
So I think maybe next time we need to talk about the importance of life cover and insurance, so that we should actually leave inheritance to our children once we are gone, and that is a matter. Because what we have right now, honestly speaking, we don't have anything for them. When we die today, the next day they might be, chased out of the house, and the cars can be repossessed if that is not well planned.
Yes. Not even the car, the house. So, and now, to make matters worse, you might have a will. Remember the day that we hosted the Master of Tire Court on this show?
Yes.
He tried to dodge the question that I asked him.
Hmm.
Actually, he did. He did dodge it. He didn't try. He dodged it. Because I said to him, for example, I know with the banks, even if you've got a will, and you've got an executor of the estate that has been nominated by you, the deceased, while you are still alive, the bank can remove that. They can go to Master of the Court and request your executor to be removed. And they nominate their own lawyer. Do you think the bank's lawyer is going to act in the best interest of your children? No. He said to act in the best interest of the bank, not you, not your children.
Hmm. That is if you owe the bank.
Yes.
So go to Bila when you owe them, whatever, whoever that you choose, that doesn't matter, is like, they are powerless.
The thing is that it doesn't mean that because you've got a will and you've got somebody or you've got your own lawyer that you need to be appointed as executor when you die. That doesn't really remain the executor. Because the bench can go to the Master of the Court, actually. We requested this executor to be removed.
Mm.
Because of ABC, we've got our own nominee here. We've got our own Mr. Elias Shamata as our nominee. Please, Master of the High Court, remove this one off the family and put this one who's going to be in our best interest.
Yo.
And that's it.
I don't know what to say, Inzi, Malendra, Laurangiti, Ind. I don't know, but hey. But anyway, you're opening our eyes. It's an eye-opening discussion that we are having this evening. Now we know our value, you know?
If you nominate, because you cannot appoint somebody to be executor. You don't have power to appoint. You can nominate. The Master of the Court will appoint. Right?
Yeah. Well.
So now, you nominate whatever trust company, whether it's a ABC trust or FYG trust, meaning your bank trust or the insurance trust company, to be the executor when you die. Fine. That is your choice. And that is the right choice. And you have got your death, and then you have got your police. the policies, the last cover, settled the debts. Everything is paid up. Right? Now the executor, your favorite bank, says to you or to your family, now give us our money, our executor's fees, the 3.5% plus VAT of that estate, because the estate is worth 2 million rand. So we want 3.5% of 2 million cash. And your wife and kids don't have it. They sell the house.
Yeah, no.
They sell the house to get a fees.
No, who done that? Well, are to hele yalo, that is a matter. There's a lot to pray about going forward. Next week, we will come back with these things because, hey, we have arrived. We are successful. And hey, there is a lot that needs to be done. And that is to say, what we really need to start answering those calls, make arrangements while we are still alive. More especially those who are planning to go on pension. So they must make sure that every single credit providers are being paid their money. It's better that you pay them and at least you count on the little that you have than not paying them at all and think that the money you have is going to be for your children, you know, to enjoy. That can be a short lived.
Do when you're still alive, can ignore them. No, they will try to phone you and say, I'm not going to pay them. But should COVID hit you and you die, and those creditors wake up in the morning and come and claim from your estate, and the estate doesn't have funds, they can apply for your estate to be declared insolvent.
Okay.
Then your house has to be sold, and then they get their money.
But in closing, how can you come on board then that there's a matter to help the situation? Like if there's the one that you're talking about, somebody died and they want everything there. Can't you maybe declare, you yourself come up with this insolvency, you know, declaration or bankruptcy?
No, what?
And just to make sure that they share a little amount that is left amongst themselves and leave you with something?
No, remember, the minute you declare yourself or you want to be declared insolvent, then your estate is going to be sequestrated.
Okay.
Then that means everything has to be sold, everything that we have.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can't pick and choose. You can't say sell this one and leave that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so everything falls in one basket, and then they sell off, and then you have to pay the creditors.
So basically, people are powerless there.
Because remember, the person who knows everything is deceased. So the children and the wife, or the husband and the children, or the aunts who are left with the children, or the uncles that are left with the children, they don't know what you know or what you knew when you're still alive.
Right.
They are new into this. So, like for example, there's another bank which is my favorite bank when coming to the estates. When we approach them in the case like this, on the matters that have come before us, we request them to resign as executors.
Okay.
So it is what they in legal terms they say they renounce.
Oh, I see.
So what they will do, they will go to the Master of the Court and resign executors, even though there's a will that nominated them to be executors and they were rightfully appointed as the executors. But they will say there's a cash flow in the estate. There's no money to pay our fees. Therefore, we resign. We hand over everything to the family to sort out. In that way, the family can be able to trade with the creditors to say, you know what, there are no funds in the estate. Can you please write off?
Oh, okay. Because of time, that Elizabeth right here overlapped a lot. Yeah, we borrowed more the next hour, so we borrowed somebody's time. So hopefully next week, we'll have patal. The contact details, that's all.
Okay, the contact details are the landline is 010
109
and the WhatsApp cell number?
Yes.
067
uh-huh.
226
mm-hmm.
5934.
5934. That there were people who were trying to call, but because of time, we were not able to take your call. Hopefully next week we'll be able to do so.
Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM. Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.